We resume our study this evening, a study we started a few weeks ago on a particular name of the Lord who sanctifies you. So we have a few selected scriptures here, so I'd like you to begin by turning with me to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. There are three occurrences of this name in the Old Testament. And they all occur in very specific, revealing contexts. So as I read each of these, pay attention to the context in which the Lord reveals this name to us. So Exodus chapter 31, read verses 12 through 17. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.'" Next, please turn with me to the passage we examined last time, Leviticus chapter 20. In the passage in Exodus, there's mention of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is a sign to us that he is the Lord who sanctifies us. And I'll read two selections from Leviticus 20. First, verses 7 and 8, where this name appears. And then I will read verses 22, I'll go all the way through 26. So verses 7 and 8 of Leviticus 20. "Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Now, verse 22, and I want you to notice again what is articulated here is this principle of holiness. We talked about how holiness primarily carries with it this idea of separation. And that really comes out here where we're called, God's people are called to be separate. Verses 22 through 26. "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my rules and do them, that the land where I am bringing you to live may not vomit you out. And you shall not walk in the customs of the nation that I am driving out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I detested them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore separate the clean beast from the unclean, and the unclean bird from the clean. You shall not make yourselves detestable by beast or by bird or by anything with which the ground crawls, which I have set apart for you to hold unclean. You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord your God, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine." So that we have very clear and wonderful presentation of what it means to be holy. And you know, very often we look at all these laws in the Old Testament with the clean and the unclean animals, and there's these commands not to plant two types of seed together, and we look at those with confusion. But clearly the Lord is desiring to teach his people a principle, this principle of separation or holiness. Now finally, turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20. A little background of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was writing during the Babylonian captivity. Jerusalem was going to be conquered and destroyed, and it was as a judgment for their wickedness. It was a judgment for their lack of holiness and sanctification. So I will read verses 11 through 13, and then we'll skip down to verse 18. So Ezekiel 20, verses 11 through 13. I gave them my statutes and made known to them my rules, by which, if a person does them, he shall live. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, but rejected my rules, by which, if a person does them, he shall live. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. Verses 18 through 21. And I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor keep their rules, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules, and keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to obey my rules, by which, if a person does them, he shall live. They profaned my Sabbaths. So those are the three contexts in which the Lord reveals this particular name to us. You'll notice the one in Exodus and the one here in Ezekiel occur in relation to the Sabbath day. So we will in particular focus on those two tonight. But before we do, let's back up a little bit and just again review what we had covered. We first last time examined the occurrence in Leviticus chapter 20, where we have this very interesting rhythmic flow where this name occurs, where there's this command. We are to consecrate ourselves, we're to be holy, we're to keep his statutes, but yet that ends with this reality that he is the Lord who sanctifies us. So God's names are obviously important to us, and the Lord saw fit to reveal this truth about our sanctification to us in this name. And so we learned here that God emphasizes that sanctification is his ongoing work within us. And you'll notice there I added Louis Berkhof's definition of sanctification, because he really captures this continuous work of God in us. We talked about how this Hebrew word, this name for God, Yahweh Mekadeshkem, that word Mekadeshkem is a Hebrew participle. It signifies this ongoing action. So we can translate it this, I am the Lord who is sanctifying you, or I am the Lord who is making you holy. It carries with this idea of an ongoing action. So Berkhof captures this in his definition. He says sanctification is that gracious and continuous operation of the Holy Spirit by which he purifies the sinner from the pollution of sin, renews his whole nature in the image of God, and enables him to perform good works. So it is this work of God in us that is conveyed in this simple name, the Lord who sanctifies you. And again, we are taught that the Lord wants us to know this. He wants us to know that he is the Lord who sanctifies us. That is why he revealed this name to us. And we saw that this was, it is not that we sit back and do nothing, but we are called to be active. We're called to take part in this sanctification. And again, you'll notice on your outlines, the very rhythmic flow of the Hebrew here that calls attention to this. We're to consecrate ourselves, be holy, and to keep His statutes and do them. There's three commands for us to be holy, but that is then followed by the reality that it is the Lord who sanctifies us. We saw that this is not merely an Old Testament teaching, but the New Testament expresses this very truth in Philippians chapter 2. We are called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but yet we're reminded that it is God who works within us. So we have this, we maybe call it a mystery of sanctification, where what God calls us to do, He promises to work within us. And rather than causing us pain and agony, this is a truth that is designed to comfort us. To comfort us that the Lord has promised to sanctify us. That He is indeed the Lord who sanctifies us. That we're called to act, we're called to be holy, but it is a certainty that He is sanctifying us. And we explained it very simply in this way, that it's really no different than our salvation, where God calls us to do something. The gospel call calls us to repent and to believe or to embrace the gospel. And we all know that in our natural state, we're unable to do that, but yet God enables us to do that. He works within us. He grants us true faith and repentance. And so it's no different with our sanctification. He calls us to do something, and then He enables us to do it. And so this is here. It's desired. It's designed to comfort us. It's designed to spur us on to greater holiness. And we really ask some of those pressing questions. How do you think of your sanctification? Do you think of it as something that you are just trying to do on your own? Or do you think of it as something that you and God are kind of working on together, like two people carrying a piece of furniture, and if one person drops one end, then everything falls apart? We're reminded here that we should be comforted, because it's not that. We're not in it on our own. We're not merely just helping God out. Rather, He is the one who is sanctifying us. And we also ask the other pressing question is, do we really desire to be more sanctified? And this can be very subtle, where we become discouraged. Paul very much alluded to the fact that sanctification is not an easy thing. It's something we work out with fear and trembling. So it's not easy. We can very easily become discouraged. We get caught in these besetting sins, and we feel like we're taking one step forward and two steps back, and we might become hopeless and give up on our sanctification. So we're reminded that we have to approach our sanctification with faith, truly believing that the Lord is certainly sanctifying us, and by faith, we are to strive for greater holiness. Now, I would like to look at these other two occurrences of this name. So if you would, turn back with me to Exodus chapter 31. That name occurs in verse 13 of Exodus 31. But again, I want you to listen to the context of both of these. A very clear context in both of them. Beginning in verse 12, the Lord says to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you.'" And verse 14 points out that the Sabbath is made for us. "You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you." And there's a warning against profaning the Sabbath. Now, turn with me to Ezekiel once again, and we'll find a very similar context. Ezekiel 20, verses 11 through 13. And note the, again, note the similar context. God said, I gave them my statutes and made known to them my rules, by which, if a person does them, he shall live. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. He goes on to talk about Israel's rebellion and the fact that they profaned his Sabbaths. So here we have somewhat of an equation that the Lord, this name, the Lord who sanctifies you, occurs twice in conjunction with the Sabbath. And the Lord emphasizes that he has given us the Sabbath day as a sign between him and us that he is indeed the Lord who sanctifies them. He sanctifies us. It is so. Not only do we have this name to teach us, to reveal to us that the Lord is sanctifying us, but we have this sign built into every week that the Lord is indeed sanctifying us. Again, notice the emphasis. It is a sign between God and us that we may know that he is the Lord who sanctifies us. So it's a very wonderful thing. We have this obscure name of God that occurs only three times in the Old Testament. But yet beyond that, we have been given a sign every week that the Lord is indeed sanctifying us. So the Lord has made one day in seven holy as a sign to us that he is making us holy. So just as he has separated a day and made it different, it's a sign that he is separating us and making us different. And so the Sabbath is given to us as a sign. It's a sign that we are resting in Christ. And we often think of it in the physical. We're resting from our physical work on the Sabbath, which we should do. But really, it is symbolic of the spiritual rest that we have in Christ. And again, this is not just, we rest in Christ not only for our salvation, but our sanctification. So we come together on the Lord's Day, we gather, and by faith, we need to realize that the Lord is sanctifying us. Now, I have a little note there of a compelling argument for the continuance of the Sabbath day. In our treatment of the Sabbath day and the Ten Commandments, I really didn't delve into the arguments for the continuation of the Sabbath, and there are many. But I think this is a compelling argument, because here the Sabbath is linked to our sanctification. You know, as long as there remains a need for sanctification, there remains a need for the Sabbath day. It's a sign that the Lord is sanctifying us. And I think for Christians to say that in the New Covenant that there's no more need for the Sabbath day, in a sense, is to say we have no more need of sanctification. And I really think it's no mistake, or it's no coincidence, really, that the Sabbath day has fallen on such hard times, and that there are so many Christians out there who are struggling in their sanctification. I think we all struggle in it, and I think as we talk to Christians in the broader church, you talk to people who are struggling. They don't feel like they're being sanctified. And it's no coincidence that the Sabbath day is held in such low regard. So the Sabbath is given to us as a perpetual commandment. You know, and as long as we need to be sanctified, there remains a need for the Sabbath day. So we will not be perfected until we enter our Sabbath rest in heaven. So until then, one day in seven is reserved to be holy, that we might know that he's the Lord who is sanctifying us. Again, I want to pose, I guess, some questions to you, and I'll ask two questions, the answers to these two questions are not unrelated. The answer, the first question is, you know, are you growing in holiness? Do you have a greater desire to be sanctified, to grow in grace, to grow closer to Christ, to be conformed to His image? Do you have that desire? And the related question is, how do you view the Sabbath day? And I think the answer to these two questions are indeed related. And I think very often how we view the Sabbath day reflects on our sanctification. That this is a day that the Lord has given as a sign to us to show us that He's sanctifying us. But He's also given it to us as a means of grace, so to speak. It's a tool that the Lord has given to us in order that we might be more sanctified. I think these two go hand in hand. And again, not to, you know, we need to point the finger at ourselves, but we look out at the broader church, and again, people step back and they see that there's something not right in the church today. And so often, many of these problems are simple in nature, that we have profaned His Sabbaths. And we read in these passages, especially in the one in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel goes on to point out that the people didn't keep the statutes. They profaned the Sabbath, that there was a lack of sanctification because they profaned the Sabbaths. And this resulted in a terrible judgment. And I think what we are experiencing today, especially in our country, is no different. The Sabbath has been profaned, and it's resulted in a clear lack of holiness among God's people. So these two go hand in hand. The Sabbath is a gift that God has given to us to sanctify us. I guess just a give a few just practical suggestions. And again, I think you know where I'm coming from. I'm not saying that this is just some magic formula by which all our problems will be solved, and if we just do X, Y, and Z, then all of a sudden we'll be sanctified. These things have to be approached by faith. They have to be approached with a trust in Christ. But nevertheless, these are things that we are called to do. So the Lord has given us this gift of the Sabbath. And stands the reason that we should make good use of it. If there is a day that the Lord has given to us and saying that this day is devoted to your sanctification, this is the day where primarily the Lord feeds us and sanctifies us, it stands to reason that we should make careful use of it. And again, some of these things we've talked about before, but I think there must be a preparation for worship. And I think that starts the day before. And again, this is not, I'm not being dogmatic about this, but it always interested me that the Jews viewed the Sabbath as beginning at sundown, the day before. And so as soon as the sun went down, that became a time of preparation, where they began getting their minds right and focusing on what they were going to do the next day. I think something that's very simple, but I think that would be helpful to us. And again, I'm just as guilty, where it seems like all of a sudden the Sabbath day is upon us and we're not ready. We have very often Saturday night becomes very busy for us because we think of all these things that we need to do before the Sabbath day. So a practical suggestion would be, when the sun goes down on Saturday evening, begin preparing your hearts. Remember that the Sabbath is given to us, and we need to make use of it. And along with that, would be to really, give ourselves to the means of grace. And again, there's an element of faith that's required here. And I think for a group like us, for a small group, a new church plant, it's a bit harder for us. It takes more faith, I think, we're reminded when when you worship at a larger church, there's more people, there's more excitement. It kind of wakes you up, so to speak, and almost prepares you to be around, more people.
You don't have to walk through a
Right. And you don't have to walk through a restaurant. Yeah, those little things, I think, make it challenging for us. And that, you know, we're meeting in a hotel. These things shouldn't matter, but they do. Let's face it, they do. And so I think for us, it takes a greater preparation. It takes an extra measure of faith that even though we're walking through a restaurant and meeting in a hotel, and even though there's sometimes five of us here for worship, that the Lord's still going to use these means of grace to sanctify us. And therefore, we need to give ourselves to them and to really approach them in faith with expectation that the Lord is going to grant us greater faith. And then I think along with that, while we're in the means of grace, then is to then respond and reflect upon them. And again, I'm just as guilty. You know, we go home on Sunday evenings and it's like immediate our mind changes gears and we start talking about things other than godly things. We start talking about the things that we have to do this week. Our minds change gears, so to speak. And I think we have to guard against that and reflect on what we heard. I think also we have to really use the balance of the day for our sanctification. And I think too often we think of the Sabbath in terms of what we can't do. But the Sabbath is given to us. Again, it's a gift. It's something that's positive. And I guess we could think about it in this way. You know, if you wanted to learn how to play the violin or the piano, whatever instrument, it stands to reason if someone with authority came to you and said, I've cleared your schedule on such and such a day, and you can devote the whole day to learning the violin. You don't have to work. You don't have to think about time. You can devote the whole day to learning this instrument. You know, it stands to reason if you had one day every week just to do that, to devote to learning that instrument, that you'd become pretty good at it. And I think it's no different with the Sabbath. The Lord has given it to us. You know, we don't have to think about our work. We're freed from those things. And this is where we have our largest spiritual meal, so to speak, where, you know, we sit under the preaching of the Word. We hear the Word read. We pray together. And so I think we need to use the balance of the day and not think about time. You know, our society is so busy. Our culture moves so fast. And it feels like we're always watching the clock. We always have something to do next. And I think the Lord has frees us from that on the Sabbath day. One of the condemnations of our brothers and sister of old was that, you know, they were clock watchers. They said, you know, when will the Sabbath be over so we can go back to buying and selling, so we can go back to earning money? And I think it's in our nature to think like that. And so, you know, we can really take advantage of this day as one day in seven where we don't have to live under that tyranny of time. We can gather together to worship God. We can rest and not think about the things that press us the rest of the days of the week. So the Lord has given this to us as a gift. And again, it's no coincidence that he reveals this name, Yahweh Mekadeshkem, the Lord who sanctifies you, in context of the Sabbath day. And so I think, obviously, this is something that we need to reflect on. We need to, obviously, depend on the grace of Christ. You know, very much, I think, many of us can testify to the fact that our Sabbath observance has very much been a process. The Lord has had to sanctify us and teach us gradually about the blessings of observing the Sabbath. But I think also we need to really use opportunities to be instructive when we speak to people. I mean, I think most of you know what I'm talking about. How many people do you talk to? I mean, these are Christians who just feel like they're frustrated. They're not growing in holiness. They're the people who've given up, you know. They take one step forward and two steps back and think, why should I even try anymore? And so I think here's an opportunity to point them to a very simple solution that the Lord has given to us, the Sabbath day. He's the Lord who sanctifies us. It's an opportunity to really encourage people. Encourage them to approach their sanctification with faith. Encourage them to make use of the Sabbath day to see it as a sign between them and God that He has promised to sanctify. So it is indeed a blessing to us. I mean, we're going to struggle the rest of our lives, but we can indeed remember by faith that the Lord is doing this work in us. As we saw this morning, we have this hope put out in front of us that we will one day be sanctified once and for all. We'll be set apart. We won't have to ask God for His will to be done in our lives because we will do it perfectly. And again, the Sabbath is one of those signs. It points us to our eternal rest in heaven where we will be with Him and once and for all be sanctified. Let's pray.